This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Remember them? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm a little froggy this morning. I apologize for that. Just getting over something. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, he's okay. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday. I'm sorry, it is Friday, November the 18th. I got to change my dates on here. Friday, November the 18th, and we are very glad to be with you. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with John Burlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we are going to talk about that FTX cryptocurrency fiasco. What happened? What went wrong? Where was the Securities and Exchange Commission on all of this, right? So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And congressional Republicans announce a probe into the murky waters of the Hunter Biden laptop and Joe Biden's connection to it. We are going to take a look as well. So stay tuned for that. And Elon Musk, he says to Twitter employees, work hard or leave. What do you know about that? He wants you to put out or get out. We will discuss the reaction to his ultimatum. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states in 2022 with the highest rate of obesity. So stay tuned for that as well. All right, well, we got a lot of things going on right now. And I see Nancy Pelosi stepping down as the leader of her party. Of course, she will not be the House Majority Leader anymore. As the Republicans have guaranteed themselves the majority. So I watched it a little bit there, Ed. I don't know if you watched her. I noticed something when she was giving this little talk of hers. Of course, all these, I don't know, lemmings you could say in the audience there in Congress standing up and applauding every time she said something. Ah, God. But I noticed that this is probably being a little petty. But when she finishes a certain part of her speech and they start applauding, you can hear her kind of smirking. Have you noticed that when she talks?
I think that's the...
She goes...
Oh, that's the glue coming undone in the, teeth. Yeah, it smacks a little bit there.
Okay. Did you watch
it? No, I didn't. But I, from what I understand, it was more of... basically a step back than a step down. Because step down, I think she would have just left and not run for her seat again. But it appears that she's going to...
Well, she's going to serve the 2 years. She's already elected for these 2 years that are coming up. Whether or not she serves her full term out, I guess apparently she's going to serve these 2 years. We'll see.
Well, I thought, with her husband being injured... And all that fiasco that she wanted to spend more time with him.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all.
That poor guy.
Yeah, the guy. I wonder how he is doing. I mean, when you get whacked over the head with a hammer, that...
What's worse, that or her coming home?
Well, can I have a little time on that one? So, let's see here. Here's what Lauren Boebert, a Republican from Colorado, said. She wasn't, I guess, too excited about the grand reception. She said, "The Pelosi era is over. Good riddance." Mark Levin, you know him, he's a conservative radio host. He has a show on Fox called Life, Liberty, and Levin. He criticized the press and politicians for honoring her through rose-tinted glasses. He said, "Nancy Pelosi is shown bipartisan respect and media fawning despite her wretched reign over the House. She was no uniter. She never demonstrated respect for our system. She always had a nasty comment. So the rewriting of her true legacy begins already. A sham."
You know what? I, as far as her legacy, in my mind, the two things that come to mind. One, of course, is the ripping up of the speech of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The other was that dog and pony show for Black Lives Matter. Remember where they went to the temple or whatever it was? And they had that fake scarf thing on, and they kneeled. You remember that?
I'm trying to remember. It was Black Lives Matter.
Her and Biden.
Sounds nice.
They all took a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they... The ripping of the speech, that was really sacrilegious, I thought. I've never seen anything like that. Everybody was shocked. The other thing I remember is her famous line about, "We have to pass the health insurance bill before we know what's in it." Now, that one truly was a scary comment. We have to pass the Obamacare bill to find out what's in it. Well, I don't think so. You should know what's in it before you pass it. Anyway, in the meantime, the White House is now debunking the congressional Republicans who say that they are going to move along and investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's relationship to the things that they found on that computer laptop of his. They allege that the president was actively involved in overseas business dealing alongside his son Hunter. So away we go now. They're going to hold hearings on it. I guess it will be hard for the media to suppress it. But I guarantee you it won't be the cover story in New York Times.
If this were 4 years ago and Donald Trump and his son, they'd have been all over it by now.
Oh, yeah.
It had been the lead story on every network.
So they say this: instead of working with the president to address issues important to the American people, like lower costs, congressional Republicans' top priority is to go after President Biden with politically going after the president with politically motivated attacks chock full of long debunked conspiracy theories. Really? Long debunked conspiracy theories? Seems like the laptop pretty much shows they're real. But that's what they're saying anyway. They go on to say, Biden is not going to let these political attacks distract him from focusing on American priorities. And we hope congressional Republicans will join us in tackling them instead of wasting time and resources on political revenge. Of course, it's okay to impeach Trump twice. For a telephone call, and then for the January 6th insurrection. And in both cases, they can't connect the dots. So this is really, it's really interesting for them to say that.
But I'm going to treat this and I don't care what party is, you know, when the whole Trump thing was going on, we wanted to see evidence of some sort, some tangible evidence that you could look at. A smoking gun. There was never anything. Now, if this laptop is out there, and I believe it is, why can't we see bits and pieces of it? You know? How long has it been? I want to see.
It's been 4 years.
And yeah, the FBI, I want to see evidence.
Yeah, the FBI is holding on to it, clutching it, and refusing to do anything. And this is the deal. The FBI has been suppressing it. They suppressed it because of the, at the time, the election. And they're suppressing it now. It'll be interesting to see some of these FBI people called on the carpet about why they are not going forward with something. Of course, what do you expect when the Justice Department is under Biden? You know? I guess this is it, you know? When it's him, no, we're not going to do anything. It's going to have to be the House, and it's going to have to be, in my opinion, a third party, maybe an independent prosecutor, before we really get anything done on this. In the meantime, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to this whole fiasco about the FTX company, cryptocurrency fiasco, what went wrong, and where was the SEC?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Hey, we are back on a Friday and delighted to have our old buddy John Brillo joining us. He is the financial policy expert for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we are going to talk about this whole thing with FTX, the collapse of cryptocurrency exchange FTX, and it's falling apart amid reports that at least $1 billion, that's with a B, in client funds disappeared. Just disappeared. Now, I guess this guy is somewhere in the Bahamas, but anyway, John, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hi, Paul. This is Fading. I'm not sure if it's on my end. It's a pleasure to be on. If you could get with your producer, maybe call my cell phone. Okay. That would be great. I'm sorry to do this.
No, that's all right.
To you, but see if the cell phone has a better connection.
Okay, I think we've got your cell phone number because I did get one. So he will call you back on the line that he's got. I think it's a 703 number. So hang on just 1 second. We will call you back.
Okay.
All right, buddy. So you still have that number, my friend? We're going to call him back. We have a bad connection. That happens sometimes in radio. In the meantime, while we're getting reconnected, I wanted you to know at least $1 billion in client funds disappeared from the coffers of FTX. It impacts potentially 1 million customers. it is prompting comparisons to some of the most notorious financial scandals in recent decades. Yet the magnitude of the customers impacted is much larger. Now, FTX, at its peak, was the third largest cryptocurrency exchange. They have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. So the question is, what is the SEC and where were they on all of this? Ed, do we have our friend back yet? Or are we still trying to work on it? We're still trying to work on it, okay? No problem. Where was the Security and Exchange Commission on this thing? Now, the founder of FTX is a guy by the name of Sam Bankman-Fried. He is facing charges that he transferred $10 billion, that's with a B, from FTX to something called Alameda Research. That's his hedge fund. Now, his hedge fund has also filed for bankruptcy. I think we've got our buddy John back on. John, can you hear us okay now?
It's still kind of fading, but I'll do the best.
Oh, okay.
Best I can.
I'm wondering if it's on your end, but thanks for bearing with us on this. So tell us, a little bit about this company, FTX, and why did the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, why did they apparently drop the ball while all of this was going on?
Well, one of the reasons we know is they were really distracted with all of the things that they were doing as far as promoting woke agenda. Like, they devoted a bunch of time to this rule on mandating the companies, you know, show their ESG credentials, environmental, social, and governance credentials, and, you know, demonstrate how green they were with a climate disclosure rule, which we protested. And so this is when Hester Peirce, who was the dissenting Republican commissioner, said, you know, we've got other important things we can be doing. But they were doing that. They were also going after very, you know, legitimate cryptos in which no fraud was allowed, such as, you know, the XRP issued by Ripple and the library token that was issued by a rival site to YouTube that was airing the stuff that YouTube banned, that was using this token, this cryptocurrency, to improve content. So in the meantime, they were doing this. It seems like either at the very least they were distracted from going after real fraud here.
Yeah. I mean, it just, first of all, cryptocurrency and all of the kind of currency that is kind of, I guess, wiring non-existent real money. It's just playing games with the internet with numbers. That's the way I look at it. But somehow you got to have faith in the company that they really do have the backing. And in this case,
right. Well, this is the case. Where the company itself, just like Theranos, was defrauding its investors. I mean, putting aside the crypto holders, it was just saying it had more billions of dollars more reserves than it had. It was counting like its own native cryptocurrency as an asset which showed when it was sold off that the asset wasn't really worth anything because it wasn't a widely circulating cryptocurrency. So this was just a classic case of investor fraud, aside from the fact that it's a crypto company.
Do you think that the investors have any chance of getting their money back on this?
It is going to be, it is going to be a long process, just like it was with Bernie with Bernie Madoff. I mean, there's a chance, but it's going to be a long legal process. Some of the Madoff investors got their money back. I mean, most of the investors in this case were, you know, like Tom Brady, you know, wealthy investors who can kind of take a hit. The concern is whether crypto holders connected with this, whether they'll face like lockouts as far as, you know, accessing their holdings as far as their customers. That's sort of more of the, at least more of my concern here.
Sure. Some people are comparing this to the Enron scandal of a few years back, and Lehman Brothers as well. Do you see any comparison?
Yes, I do see comparisons about, you know, overstating reserves, accounting tricks. But where I also see the comparison is that we don't want to do bad policy responses that make it worse. Like after Enron, we got, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley, which really didn't prevent it, the next scandal, which was the subprimes, from occurring. But what it did do was make it harder for honest entrepreneurs to go public and for ordinary investors and middle-class investors to get in companies on their growth stages. So whereas Walmart and Home Depot were able to go public when they were just basically regional chains, you know, that had just, you know, a few stores, you know, now companies like are waiting, you know, or have to be $1 billion before they go public, and the wealthy and accredited investors get all the growth, and ordinary investors are denied that. So that's what we don't want, this kind of overkill where, you know, middle class investors and consumers can't access legitimate crypto, and entrepreneurs can't use crypto and the blockchain to, you know, help grow their businesses.
Right. We're talking with John Berlow. He is the financial policy expert for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about FTX and what went wrong, and the Security and Exchange Commission, and why weren't they hot on the trail of this cryptocurrency company. You know, John, you mentioned Tom Brady. There were some other people, some politicians that are connected to this. Bill Clinton, apparently he was paid to do a speech involving FTX in April of 2022. There are several other politicians currently in Congress that are connected because they got a handful of dollars from FTX. And right now, a lot of people are asking, are you going to hand that money back now that you know what they are all about? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think definitely that may have distracted the look. I mean, just like with the Theranos company, where it turned out, you know, that what they were making as far as a device that could read screen was just a tiny amount of blood, just wasn't, you know, coming to fruition. It was there was fraud there. I think this is the fact that, you know, so many well-connected people, and in this case, well, on people on the progressive side, you know, his parents were progressive Democrats. His Sam Bankman-Fried's father, you know, helped write Elizabeth Warren write tax legislation, that you know, sort of may have encouraged people to look the other way here. And ironically, yeah, is that Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX were encouraging more extensive regulations that competitors said would give them a monopoly. So it would be ironic if they just rushed through heavy-handed regulation after this, because that's actually what Sam Bankman-Fried was lobbying for.
Mm-hmm. I saw a little video on some of the people involved with FTX. They look like hippie-ish kind of people. It didn't seem real, what's the word? It didn't seem real. It looked like a back in the garage kind of an enterprise when I watched.
Well, this would be, I mean, that would be enough reason itself for the SEC at least to look into it. And you had short sellers like Mark Cahoti warning about this, you know, months ago, that, you know, this is, you know, you it's like, come on, 10 people in a commune in the Bahamas running an exchange, a crypto exchange that does tens of billions of dollars in business. So, yeah, the warning signs are definitely there.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess, do you think now we're going to get some new legislation that probably won't really address the issue? You know how that goes. Everybody will be scurrying about and saying, okay, we're gonna really crack down on the cryptocurrency world now, you know. Do you think we're going to get anything like that? And if we do, do you think it's going to just go off the rails and not really address the real issues?
I hope we... There's a chance we do, because that's sort of been the precedent as far as with Enron and other scandals. You know, the rush to do something, but I'm hoping you'll do something more thoughtful. I mean, I think there's a place for updating the laws where, you know, you can keep your cryptocurrency like in a trust account in a bank, where, you know, you have some some guarantees that, you know, they won't use the assets for other things. But I mean, the Trump comptroller of the currency tried to do that, but the Biden administration, of course, has been walking that back. But or things like exchange traded funds, which is safer exposure to the sector, which the SEC has blocked, even though those are available in Canada. So one of the problems is some of the safer alternatives are banned, and you just have the choice with crypto of holding it either, you know, with your own self-hosted wallet, in which case you have to keep track of and remember the password, or on an exchange where, you know, you could be locked out. So, I mean, I think creating other or allowing or creating the path for safer alternatives for crypto would be one of the things we need to do with regulation, rather than just rushing out. I mean, what the SEC is doing now, they've been cracking down and saying, you know, that crypto is a security, which is it's usually not when it doesn't offer dividends and other things. And they've been shutting down, as I said, legitimate cryptos, like in this country, XRP and the library token with that website. But that didn't prevent the FTX fraud. And so, you know, it's like, I hope they see, you know, just doing more of the same is not going to be working as far as regulation.
Yeah, exactly right. John, it's always a pleasure. Apologize for the bad connection. I also apologize for my hoarse voice. But thank you so very much for being with us. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me on. Our website is CEI.org, and I hope you and your listeners have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John, and the same to you. All right, John Berlow. We are going to take our break. When we come back, Elon Musk. He says to Twitter employees, work hard or get the heck out of here. So we're going to discuss the reaction to his ultimatum.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Do you have questions about navigating the confusing world of health insurance? Then just ask Angela. That's right, just ask Angela. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Angela will discuss topics such as individual, family, and group health insurance plans, life insurance, original Medicare, supplemental plans, and much, much more. Just ask Angela every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and visit her website, justaskangela.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for sticking with us today. And again, my apologies. Getting over a little bit of a hoarse throat and a little fever, but feeling a lot better today, believe me, than I did yesterday. So Elon Musk, he's running the Twitter platform, and he's telling all of his employees, we're going to be changing our work ethic around here a little bit. His latest attempt to streamline his new social media company has been met with yet more wailing and gnashing of teeth from so-called disapproving liberals on Twitter. Now, Wednesday, he emailed the site's employees with an ultimatum obligating them to commit to an extremely hardcore work ethic or leave the company. He argued that Twitter must be ready for a more increasingly competitive world, as he put it, and therefore employees must be ready to give more CNN correspondents be ready to give more. That's what I meant to say. So I guess the question is, does he have a right to start forcing these people to work a little bit harder. I think it's probably a good thing. You know, in the long run, when you work hard, you have more respect for what you do.
I think the answer to that question is, does he sign checks?
I think he does, yes.
Then you have to work harder.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, there's truth to be said, to be told when, if you go into a place and everything is like, you know, I don't know.
Lackadaisical?
Yeah, and, you know, you kinda have like this, when, that, everything's there. You take it for granted.
Like when the substitute teacher's there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take advantage. And we did take advantage.
And you got to remember, there were a lot of fake accounts, too. A lot of fake accounts.
There were a lot of fake accounts, and they're going to have to clean that up.
Yeah.
But he wants them to work hard.
And that's probably what he's talking about.
Yeah, that could be.
You know, we're not going to just put our feet up on the desk 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. He says, going forward, to build a breakthrough Twitter and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore. This will mean working long hours at high intensity. You know, if he sets the example by working hard, you know, first in, last out, people will respect what he's saying, right?
Well, he didn't make a gazillion dollars by sitting around twirling his thumbs. You know, and if he wants you to work hard, if it's reasonable, it's not like he's making you, oh, I don't know, hang from the ceiling and scrub the ceiling and do things like that.
No, it probably won't be that bad.
And here in America, you have a choice. Leave.
Yeah, exactly. And I suspect some people will, even if it has nothing to do with the politics.
There was a mass exodus yesterday.
From Twitter?
Yes, a bunch of the employees walked out.
I'm sure they'll find replacements.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he doesn't have to replace every single one of them anyway. You know what I mean? You can, what's the word, downsize a little bit and still get the same amount of work out of those people. So, we'll see where all of that goes, but he's cracking the whip. Here is a commentator. I guess this guy doesn't think much of the Musk demands. This guy's name is Ryan Pinesworth. He said, Elon Musk sent a midnight email telling Twitter employees to commit to an extremely hardcore work schedule or get laid off with 3 months severance. This is why people are not loyal to a company. It's a paycheck and nothing more. Huh. Well, you'd be loyal if you work hard. What's wrong with working hard? I find you'll be more loyal if you work hard and put a lot of yourself into a, you know,
situation. Unless time I check, if he fires you or you want to quit, he doesn't have to give you a severance.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know. I don't think you do. That's true. So we'll see where all of that goes, but we'll also see if the politics of Twitter changes and we get more conservative thought coming across on that platform. Hey, did you hear about North Korea now has, this is a scary thing, North Korea has test launched a missile, a ballistic missile, capable of striking the United States anywhere in our country. Anywhere.
Mm.
That's a little scary. It's an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. It's capable of carrying a nuclear warhead with a range that could strike anywhere across the United States mainland. Now, the missile they test launched landed 130 miles off the coast of Japan. You know, if I was in Japan, I'd be a little bit nervous about this idiot in North Korea doing these test shots, you know? The U.S. Indo-Pacific Command said it was in close communication with Japanese and South Korean officials. Well, I would hope so. And, of course, the United States is trying to tamp down on, you know, getting too excited about it. U.S. commitment to the defense of the Republic of Korea, which is South Korea, and Japan remains ironclad. So, I don't know. I mean, here's a guy that you keep allowing him to do these things, and he always does one more. He takes a step further, you know, along the way. Keeps testing you.
So I guess there's nothing we can do until he actually hits us.
I'm wondering. Well, Biden certainly doesn't seem to be doing anything. I don't see Biden talking to this guy. You know? I mean, I think if Trump was in again, I don't think any of this would be going on. We've talked about that before. I just don't think these things.
Does North Korea have nuclear weapons?
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, unfortunately, they do. Mm. Yep, they do. And so, this guy could, you know, at some point, load one on there. You know, you never know. He's nutty enough to wake up one morning in a bad mood.
This is a little boy stomping his feet.
Yeah.
Because he's not getting any attention.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, this is a scary story, I think. 60% of Americans. Did you know that 60% of Americans are living from one paycheck to another? They don't have anything else in the bank, per se. They're dependent upon the next check to continue to exist. And a year ago, that number was around 56%, so it's getting worse. It says most consumers who have historically managed their budgets comfortably are feeling the financial strain this year, which will impact their spending behavior.
I think those people, too, that are not working and staying home and collecting a check are a big part of that number, I would think.
Yeah, probably right.
Because they're not getting any, they're not getting ahead.
No.
They're probably barely keeping their head above water, which would be living check to check.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a scary scenario. I was always taught you got to have something for a rainy day, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, if you don't have anything, and God forbid an emergency comes along, what are you going to do? You kind of throw yourself on the mercy of other people or what, you know? And you know how the Biden administration is talking about how we're getting so many people employed. But it says here, real average hourly earnings are down about 3% from a year ago. So you're not even being able to, in real spending power, keep up with what we used to have along with not having money in a nest egg for a rainy day. So this is getting a little bit scary for people. And we got Christmas coming up. I mean, I don't know. I read where this Christmas is probably not going to be, let's say, the most, the biggest spending Christmas. We're going to be kind of cutting back a little. Do you think, Ed, that might be true?
Yeah, I think with gas going back up and stuff like that, I think mm-hmm. But you know, I've seen it on some of the news stations that the inflation, the turkey was going to be three times as much this year.
Yeah,
it's not,
isn't it?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No.
How much is a turkey right now?
We were in Walmart the other day, and the normal, like, you can get the Walmart turkey for like 99 cents a pound.
And
you can get the premium butterball for $1.29, which is about normal.
It is? Oh,
yes.
Good. Well, maybe we're coming down. So, are we coming down?
I don't know.
A little bit?
I'm just saying, to report that turkey's going to be this much. I still see it, but I don't know where they're pulling from. I'm just saying I was there, and now chicken, yes, chicken has gone crazy. Chicken used to be $1.99 a pound. The boneless, skinless chicken breast, now it's almost $4.
Gosh.
Yep.
It's like twice as much.
Yep.
I think that is very scary. Roughly half of all shoppers in this tested poll said they will buy fewer things due to higher prices. More than one-third said they will rely on coupons or other money-saving strategies. Most consumers also plan to finance their Christmas purchases with credit cards. You know, buy now, pay later. So, going to be a lot of additional debt. 25% of shoppers said they would opt for cheaper versions of more practical gifts. So it does look, from this standpoint at least, that they will be cutting back a little bit. Anyway, let us take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 states with the highest rate of obesity in 2022.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and oncoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. We always appreciate your tagging along with us. But thanks to Ed, if you cannot listen live, you can listen to us on podcast. He has put all of our shows on tape. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. And he's got all our shows from the most recent show at the front all the way back. And that will give you also our guest for the show and the top 10. So, give it a listen. If you miss any of our shows or you want to go back and hear it again, you gluttons for punishment, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, here is another one of these ridiculous, in my opinion, situations that we are getting with school districts. In Maryland, a school district has unveiled an LGBTQ inclusive book list. A book list for elementary schools. But they have declined to recommend several children's books on the basis that they promote, listen to this, quote, that they promote, quote, American values, unquote. What? They have declined to allow those kinds of books in their school district because they promote American values? What are they talking about? This is Montgomery County Public Schools. It's the most affluent school district in Maryland. Now, they're teaching elementary kids words like intersex and drag queen, and apparently the kids as young as 4 years old. That's kind of, I mean, I don't know, but it sounds to me like we've really lost control of what is going on in our schools when we have this going on. Now, let's see here. Records provided by the editor of Heroes of Liberty book series showed recently that the Maryland Public School District declined to recommend three nonfiction children's books that were donated to the school by the Heroes of Liberty, which seeks to counter progressive literature favored by public schools. And there was, the New York-based company donated three kids' books about libertarian economist Thomas Sowell, Supreme Court Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and Founding Father Alexander Hamilton for use in the district's library, school libraries, and recommended for grades 2 through 6. But the school district declined to recommend them. Well, I wonder on what basis, other than they are teaching American values. Very scary. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, trying to hold out with my voice here, but is there anything going on that we need to know in the world of sports?
Not much, other than the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, they won last night against Calgary Flames.
They do.
And the Bucks are off this week. They're on a bye.
The Bucks are not playing? My goodness. Now, what did the Lightning do last night?
They won against the Flames.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Are they playing pretty well then, huh?
Getting back to it, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
The Bucks are off for this week, which is coming about the right time.
So. Yeah. Tom Brady sure is getting in the news a lot. If it isn't with his wife, it's with the cryptocurrency situation.
Yeah, I mean,
if it isn't with that, it's with the football team.
There are a lot of celebrities. You know, I saw Kevin O'Leary, one of the guys from Shark Tank. He's in on it, too.
Really?
Yeah.
On the cryptocurrency?
Yes. Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, Shaquille's got his hands in everything. Those are some big hands,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he does.
He's pizza. He's insurance.
He's all over the place, yeah. And he's in cryptocurrency as well.
Yeah.
I see. Well, you're not going to feel too sorry for these big money-making sports stars, I guess.
No, but I know of people that would, try to buy something. Somebody would say, can I pay you in cryptocurrency? And they're like, yeah, those people are shafted. Those people are probably going to be shafted. You know, guys like Brady and Shaquille O'Neal, they're going to be all right. But the guys, people that may, I don't even know how it works, to tell you the truth.
I don't either. It's all electronic wire transferring of things, and it was based on the good faith.
But a lot of athletes, you know, were starting to get into it.
Yeah, apparently so. You're right. All right, it's time for our top 10. I think this is an interesting one. This is actually from Wallet Hub, and it's updated for 2022. These are the top 10 states with the highest rate of obesity. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10, South Carolina. They had a total score, the lower the better, but they had a total score of 63. They were 10th overall on obesity and overweight prevalence, 22nd on health consequences, and second on food and fitness. All right, number 9, Oklahoma. Oklahoma was 8th on obesity and overweight prevalence, and 32nd on health consequences, 15th on food and fitness. Number 8, up to Delaware. Delaware is 8th, 14th on obesity and overweight prevalence, 3rd in health consequence. I wonder why Delaware is like that. Usually they're remanded to the west, to the south, but not so much here. Number 7, Louisiana. Maybe they're eating too many, crayfish.
Mm.
Although I wouldn't know if they can get heavy on that. But they're 7th in obesity and overweight prevalence, 26th in health consequences, 4th in food and fitness. Okay, number six, staying in the South, Tennessee. Tennessee, sixth in obesity and overweight prevalence, 12th in health consequences, and 10th in food and fitness. Number five, Alabama, not surprising, fifth in obesity and overweight prevalence, 11th in health consequences, 3rd in food and fitness. Number four, right next door, Arkansas, 5th in obesity and overweight prevalence, 11th in health consequences, and 3rd in food and fitness. Number three, Kentucky, 4th in obesity and overweight prevalence, 17th in health consequences, 6th in food and fitness. Number two, poor old Mississippi. They're always on this kind of a list, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they made it second. And they're second in obesity and overweight prevalence, 10th in health consequences, and first. I guess first is not a good one. It's a bad one. First in food and fitness. All right. You want to try and guess, Ed, what might be the state that is the worst?
South is taking a beating.
They are, yeah.
I'll stay in the South. I'll go with Georgia.
Georgia, all right. Drum roll. I would tell you that is a very good guess, but Georgia doesn't make the list. But West Virginia does.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, West Virginia. Number one in obesity and overweight prevalence. Number one in health consequences. And number nine in food and fitness. What are they doing in West Virginia? My goodness.
A lot of eating.
I guess so. All right. We got some time here. I just noticed I could have taken a little bit longer.
I would think more of the northern states where people are kind of hunkered down 6 months of the year.
You know where it's a good state? And by the way, I'm going to give you a little tease because I happen to know what are the top 10 best states. Yeah, I'm just looking, without telling you who they are, the northern states do better in this kind of a poll. Now, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I would think it would be worse because it's sitting at home.
Sitting at home, it's cold weather.
Well, cold weather, yeah.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. We'll find out on Monday when we do the top 10 with the best and lowest rates of obesity. But anyway, so is there anything else we can... we got just about a minute left here. I don't know if there's anything else going on that we
nice can... and cool out for a change.
It's much
49
cooler.
This morning?
Yeah, when I was driving in here, I must say, we finally got some cold weather. I think you were talking about, was it Buffalo that's...
4 to 5 feet of snow.
4 to 5 feet. They're in that snow...
The lake effect.
Lake effect snow.
But they were getting thunder snow, so there was thunder and lightning.
Oh, my goodness.
That's got to be a sight.
That really has to be a sight. I imagine Syracuse and Buffalo and all those areas. Rochester, New York gets a lot of that, too. Our buddy Angelo Ceresi up there probably gets a lot of snow these days. Anyway, thank you so very much for putting up with me. Hopefully, I'll feel better on Monday. In the meantime, always remember that freedom works.
No dice, son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. Epic is one word being used to describe the massive snowstorm pounding western New York State. Dano J. had trouble getting to work.
I rode a four-wheeler ATV. It took me an hour to go three-quarters of a mile. So.